But you don't have to worry about the rails and the other parts.
What kind of fabrics?
Often my fabrics tend to be neutrals, things that look like linen, things that look like just texture and neutral colors. Although I was in Crate and Barrel about a month ago, and they had a, this sounds funny, like a sort of an ultra suede navy blue king headboard. Do that in somebody's house. I usually don't like to do colored headboards because it limits what you can do in bedding. But you know what? When you do blue, how many colors go with blue? A zillion colors. Green goes with blue. Yellow goes with blue. I mean, there's so many colors that you can do. Browns go with blue. Oranges go with blue. There's so many colors. Grays go with blue. You could do a lot. It's pretty much universal, even though it's a commitment to color. For most people, I would say do a neutral bed. But you know what? The flip side is, if you're going to paint your room a neutral color, do you really want a neutral headboard? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you need to do it. I will tell you, yesterday I was shopping for bedding for one of my customers, and I kept seeing bedding in shades of like a Tiffany box blue and light gray.
Ah.
Like that combination. It kind of sort of, do you ever go to like the fabric store somewhere and then something that you see just,
it speaks to you.
Yeah, it speaks to you, and it would be sort of something that was fresh. So for me, I'm on this kick since yesterday that I like Tiffany box blue with a light gray and white. And some of the bedding had that in it, and it was really nice looking. I really liked the freshness of it. So that was something that spoke to me. What are you seeing in bedding, and what kind of ideas do you have, maybe with your own bedroom, with maybe doing something like maybe bringing in an upholstery hardware, or maybe trying to make one?
I have just seen the upholstered, simple, just mm-hmm. squares with burlap. But mm-hmm. the biggest thing I've seen, and you see it on everything, you're right. seeing it on chairs, on sofas, the nail head trim.
Right.
And I remember that, again, from being a kid, that it was a big thing back then. Back then it was a little more colonial than
right.
it is now.
Sure.
But in all kinds of different finishes.
Right.
You had mentioned just earlier when we were chatting, do something in a nickel. Do something in a chrome with navy. That
yeah.
would look spectacular.
In the upholstered headboard in the ultra suede in navy blue, it was chrome. And something about the chrome with the dark blue was really... It wouldn't have looked as good if it was in satin nickel. Although it would look good, it wouldn't look as good. It was striking because of that. And there are, there is a very much a strong thing to do a little bit of metallic. I have noticed that coffee tables, I don't know if you've looked online or looked in magazines, most of the coffee tables that I'm seeing in furniture stores are metal. Less wood, more metal coffee tables, a lot of metal coffee tables this year. And also gold is back, the gold finish,
really?
Lots of gold metal. Now the gold is very different. It's a matte gold, it's an old gold.
Like a
burnished gold, very matte finished, but lots of gold, more gold than silver in coffee tables and end tables. Lots of that going on. So the metallic look is very popular right now. So doing a shiny metallic just as a little embellishment or a jewel, if you will, with doing the nail heads in something like a shiny finish is really, I think, kind of nice. And it makes it, it's still traditional, but yet it's updated.
And what do you think about, and I think that this was definitely in a couple of years back, sort of the industrial mixing like a very rustic wood with metal, which almost seemed more like plumber's metal or sheet metal.
Well, I'll tell you, the project that we're doing for Design New Jersey magazine, I had a table made out in Pennsylvania. I had an artisan that will take an actual tree and carve the tabletop out of the tree itself with all the imperfections and the roots and the it's just absolutely beautiful. And then when that top was done, we paired it with an antique metal base, and the juxtaposition of those two things just were beautiful together.
Oh, talk more about the wood itself. I mean,
the wood was just a big old tree, and it looks like a tree. The ends are certainly sealed so you couldn't cut yourself, but the ends are raw.
The bark?
Yeah,
wow.
You can see it is just magnificent. And the combination of a very natural element with some metal, I think it's kind of pretty. I think it's kind of striking. A lot of the things, I will be honest with you, a lot of the things I'm seeing today are much more severe than I was originally used to. But the naturalness of the wood kind of softens them a little bit, so I kind of like those two elements together. You have to do a really soft chair with that. You can't do it. That's your statement. Then your table's your statement. You have to make everything else as simple as possible. Otherwise, it doesn't work. But I do like the combination of those two things. But getting back to bedrooms and beds in particular, I don't think the upholstered headboard is going to go away anytime soon. So I do like them. Now, you talked about you want to try to make one yourself.
I was debating it. I mean, how difficult could it be? You're basically gift wrapping a piece of wood with whatever your fabric of choice is, and then you're hammering in nail head trim.
Would you think about taking an existing headboard and making it into an upholstered headboard, having that be the base?
See, I wouldn't.
Tell me why.
Well, for example, we've got, you know, a very, very traditional home. We've got a four-poster bed.
Right.
I wouldn't quote unquote, ruin that.
Right.
I mean, that's, like you said earlier, put it in the basement, put it in the attic.
If you
want to do something way different, then start brand new.
Let's say you have just sort of a generic headboard that's wood. Could you upholster it? I mean, you need some sort of a structure or a base to do the headboard, right? So what would you start with? What would you create to start with as the wood or the base of the headboard? Lumber? I mean, would you just create?
Probably plywood.
Okay.
And also Homasote, as you know, the company that my husband works for. It's a family-owned business.
Right.
Based in West Trenton. It's been in business since 1908.
Right.
It's just a very forgiving material. It's made out of recycled newspaper, and they sell it in, you know, Home Depot and Lowe's. That's very easy. You could put the cushions in easily.
So that's the...
Yeah, we'll make one on TV.
That'd be great. So, well, you'll make it, and I'll narrate because I'm not too good with my fingers. Okay. So having said that, so if you use the Homasote, do you still have to use batting over it?
I think it depends on how puffy you want it to be. I mean, right now I'm envisioning something very tailored, really almost like you're gift wrapping something.
Right.
But the puffiness, you know, would certainly help if you want sort of semi-tufting with the nail head trim.
And then if you were making, when you make the sleeve of fabric to go over it, would it be like a slip cover and it would go down over the structure with the, or would it just be wrapped, like would the fabric be wrapped around it?
See, again, there are probably many different ways to do it, and I guess slip cover is one way. Maybe, you know, certainly something you could change out.
Right.
But right now I'm envisioning, you know, just like you'd wrap a box.
Right.
I mean, and then, of course, the back, you would want felt. You would want some kind of backing on it. But,
Yeah. An interesting project. And just a way to take your existing beautiful beds, which you probably still love, and then just bringing something else to the surface. For sure. Let's talk about bedding, because with the change in times, we went through a period where I thought bed sets weren't that interesting. But recently, just as you and I have said about country curtains sort of reinventing themselves and bringing some wonderful new stuff to the table, I'm starting to see interesting bedding sets again. In the earlier days, I used to love to go to Ralph Lauren, and they had a wonderful home store in Short Hills Mall, and the back was all different scenarios of rooms, and they would just have the most beautiful bedding you ever saw in your life. And I looked forward to when a new Ralph Lauren bed set would come out, because you just wanted everything they had. It was just so well done. You don't see that as much anymore, and bedding got kind of neutral, and so neutral. If you're going to have neutral walls, you don't want neutral bedding. You have to have something be a pop. So I am starting to see bed sets that are quite beautiful. Now, yesterday I saw that sort of Tiffany box blue with gray, with a very nice pattern and layers of those two colors, and it was sort of a fresh springy kind of a blue that looked really nice. I did see a bed set that was sort of gray and yellow, and that was kind of pretty and caught my eye too. But I'm always looking for like what's new, what's sparking with bedding. What about you with colors in bedding? Are there colors that you like in bedding in particular?
Blues. I mean, they're very calming.
Blues, they say, I read an article that said that for mental health, that blues and greens, common colors, are the best colors for bedrooms. You don't want to, supposedly, you don't want a blue or green, soft green office, because it's sort of calming. You want something that's going to spark, and then your dining room is supposed to be a color that's supposed to spark appetite. But your bedroom, you want soft blues and greens, they say.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, we've got Woodlawn Blue, which... Mm-hmm. Like
that's a good
much.
that's definitely a good bedroom color. But I like bedding these days that has I think it had to have something to be a pop. So I am starting to see bed sets that are quite beautiful. Now, yesterday I saw that sort of Tiffany box blue with gray with a very nice pattern and layers of those two colors. And it was sort of a fresh, springy kind of a blue that looked really nice. I did see a bed set that was sort of gray and yellow, and that was kind of pretty and caught my eye too. But I'm always looking for like what's new, what's sparking with bedding. What about you with colors in bedding? Are there colors that you like in bedding in particular?
I like blues. I mean, they're very calming.
Blues, they say, I read an article that said that for mental health, that blues and greens, calming colors, are the best colors for bedrooms. You don't want a blue or green, soft green office because it's sort of calming. You want something that's going to spark, and then your dining room is supposed to be a color that's supposed to spark appetite. But your bedroom, you want soft blues and greens, they say.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, we've got Woodlawn Blue, which like
that's
very
a good much. That's definitely a good bedroom color. But I like bedding these days that has layers to it, so you don't have necessarily all one bed set. So maybe you have a great comforter that's one thing, and then you put layers on it. Do you often put on your bed? Do you always have your comforter off the bed, or do you sleep with your comforter on the bed?
Off the bed.
Do you?
Everybody. We've got Matt Lassay, which right. I love, right. And then you know some great pillows that mm-hmm. I think I got at Pottery Barn that mm-hmm. just pop. They bring in blues and reds, and you know. Just have had it and like it very much.
How do you feel about a lot of pillows on the bed?
I think, I'm not sure. We don't have a lot of
right.
pillows. We've got two big ones, which I think make a statement. But I think it's a great look. It depends, you
it's
know,
a great look,
for.
But I will say in the last 11 years of the 11 pillows that I have on the bed, two kind of make it to the bed, and the rest of them are in the corner. The biggest thing is dusting the pillows, because just putting those pillows on and off is a lot. And I do see people are using less pillows. Not a lot less, but less pillows. Maybe those three pillows, but they'll be an interesting shape. Maybe a bolster pillow or things that are an interesting shape. But pillows for maybe photographing the room really bring out a lot in a bed. I'm seeing lots of coral. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about for spring. And everything, but in bedding, beautiful coral that's out there now. Now, this sounds like very Miami Vice in the 80s, but they're not used together. I'm seeing lots of coral for spring and lots of light teals for spring. Not in the same way where they were together in the 80s, but either sort of a warm teals or Tiffany box blues or soft blues with gray or corals with gray. Lots of those things
well,
together.
Like a darker coral.
Right.
Not the...
A really rich coral. Not yes. mauve. A really rich, darker coral. Mm-hmm. And the coral has just a freshness that I can't wait to like do something with. So coral is going to be... I'm telling you, you heard it here, folks. I've been right about a lot of stuff. Coral is going to be very, very popular this year. And, you know, it's not limited to the bedroom. If you want to maybe do throws, you know, a throw is kind of like an accessory. So, I don't know, at night when I'm watching television, I kind of like to put a throw on. Go get a couple of throws that in that color that you like, that new color that you like. Something like that just brings another pop, another thing to it. It doesn't take a lot. You don't have to change all your accessories. I always say to people, don't reinvent the wheel. Don't throw everything you have away. When you change one thing, it makes a difference the way everything else looks. And bringing something like a new rich coral to the table for spring will really give you that look. Mm-hmm. Bring some fresh plants into the house now. Start doing some of those little things. And I think psychologically that sort of push you more towards a feeling of spring. Don't
yes.
you think?
Mm-hmm.
We have 1 minute left. Anything that you want to add? This went by pretty quick, didn't it?
It went by really quick.
Definitely, definitely. So we're going to bring you now, this is our new time slot. It's 1 to 3. I'm going to go to social media after this and talk about some of our upcoming shows. We're going to have multiple topics now with a 2-hour format. So I look forward to seeing you all. And Jane, I thank you so much for being my guest.
You're welcome.
Co-host today. You did a terrific job and brought a lot to the table. And for my listeners, I will see you next Wednesday from 1 to 3 with more of Modern Design. If you'd like to reach me or call me for anything or ask me some questions, sometimes people text me after the show questions. You can always text me at 908-884-0770, and I'd be glad to answer any design questions. Well, thank you for everybody. We love our new time slot. We'll see you next week back here in studio with another edition of Modern Design. Thank you, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
The message was good from the DHS.
Are you tired?
Threat to our public safety or have committed a crime will be the first to go.
Sean Spicer speaking about Trump administration enforcement of immigration laws and crackdowns across the country on illegal immigrants.
This is consistent with everything the president has talked about, which is prioritizing the people who are here who represent a threat to public safety or have a criminal record.
Graffiti written in black marker on the Lincoln Memorial, the World War II Memorial, and more around the Washington Mall. U.S. Park Police Sergeant Anna Rose describes some of the vandalism.
One does say Jackie shot JFK. There's one that discusses 9/11.
The Trump administration reportedly reversing the transgender bathroom policies of the Obama administration, saying it's a state's rights issue. USA Radio News.
We all want healthy, thick, shiny hair like in the magazines. It's all about the products you use. But you don't have to spend much to get that everyday fresh from the salon look. All it takes is Ovation Cell Therapy.
The breakthrough cell therapy treatment by Ovation can't be found in any other hair care line. Loaded with vital proteins and key nutrients, your hair and scalp will be nourished and revitalized like no other product can do. It's clinically proven to reduce breakage and give you thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier your hair. People will notice.
And unlike other hair care products, Ovation gives a 365-day money-back guarantee. No one else does that.
Ovation really works. Start with a flagship cell therapy treatment at ovationhair.com. Instantly save as a new customer with the special introductory .com.
The severe storms in California may have gone away, but the flooding is increasing. Here's correspondent Mark Mayfield.
Drenching rains and gale-force winds are creating life-or-death emergencies in Northern California. Firefighters rescued more than 200 people trapped in flooded homes in San Jose yesterday. Floodwaters are keeping thousands more away from their homes. People who were rescued were washed down with soap and clean water to remove residue from water that swept over sewer lines and through garbage and engine fuel. Only then were they taken to shelters. Almost 2 inches of rain fell on San Francisco, and other Bay communities got more than 4 inches of rainfall from storms that blew in Monday and Tuesday.
America's top diplomat is in Mexico City for high-level meetings. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly both set to meet with their Mexican counterparts to talk about border security, trade, and other key issues. The two men are expected to take a hard line when it comes to border security, in line with the statements made by President Trump about protecting America's southern border. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
The state of Colorado is starting something new when it comes to giving marijuana to its citizens, a drive-through pot shop. Here's the story from Mark Mayfield.
Along with cheeseburgers and tacos, Colorado residents are getting drive-through marijuana. A drive-through pot shop is coming to the town of Parachute, east of Grand Junction along I-70. Green Cross Colorado has won approval to provide drive-up pot sales at a former car wash. Parachute's mayor says personal feelings aside, without recreational marijuana sales, the town would be in deep financial trouble. Selling marijuana out the window figures to drive more people to Parachute's restaurants and shops.
A man accused of murdering a Rutgers College student has been caught in the Dominican Republic. Scott Pringle has the story.
Essex County prosecutors say U.S. Marshals rounded up Freyned Ramirez in the Dominican Republic. Ramirez and the other suspect, Marcus Felix, have been charged with murdering a Rutgers student and robbery. Authorities say 21-year-old Shani Patel of Toms River was shot and killed in April of last year during a robbery at an off-campus apartment in Newark. Patel's roommate also shot. He survived. Scott Pringle, New York.
Crews cleaning graffiti from several iconic Washington, D.C. monuments. The National Park Service says it could take up to 2 weeks to clear the messages scrawled in permanent black marker on the Lincoln Memorial, Washington Monument, and the World War II Memorial. Park police believe a single person is likely responsible for the damage. They're asking for the public's help in trying to determine who did it. USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
And we are back with more of Modern Design in our hour two. Jane, I always think that Chris's promo sounds like it would be like the beginning of like a 1970s like sitcom show, doesn't it? It would be like on CBS. It has that sort of like big opening that they would have. Anyway, so let's take a look at the weather again today. The National Weather Service is telling us the updated forecast from last hour that we're at 55 degrees now, and this afternoon will be partly sunny with a high of 58. Tonight it's going to be partly cloudy with fog with a low of 41. On Thursday, there's going to be areas of fog, then a high of 69 degrees. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers with a low of 48. On Friday, there's going to be a 20% chance of showers, then patchy fog with a high of 66. On Friday, again, a 30% chance of showers with a low of 51. And then Saturday will be showers likely, but a high again of 68 degrees. It always sounds like we're having our spring showers, like everything that follows suits for that amount of time. But, you know, you can never trust this time of year because you get a false sense of security, then boom, we'll have a big snowfall again. So you don't know how that's going to play out. Well, my name is Richard Scuderi, and our program is called Modern Design. We've been here for about 3 years now. A lot of changes in year three. We are going to a new format, which is a two-hour format. We're going to have different topics on the table instead of one topic. And I will be bringing more live studio guests in. Today I have the lovely Jane DeHaven, who's a local resident in Hunterdon County. And we are talking about getting your house ready for spring. What's your favorite thing to do at springtime in your house?
My favorite thing? I'm not sure. I mean, but I will say it feels really great after the long winter to take your curtains down and wash them, right. To iron them and starch them and wash the windows and get everything sparkling again.
Right. Okay, so I'm a little lazy. So my favorite thing to do is when I start to see in the supermarkets and in the garden centers are starting to stock, going in and getting whatever it is, whether it be, often for me it's the primrose. So when you still have those winter days, you'll go to even just a supermarket. These supermarkets have gotten pretty sophisticated in some of their orchids and the things they have. And I'll go and I'll get a couple of primroses, really pretty, and I'll put them on my kitchen window. And to me, that's the start, you know, mm-hmm. and start bringing flowers in every week to sort of break up the doldrums of winter and bringing some spring flowers into the house. For me, that gives me like sort of that first sort of being happy about spring. For sure. So our topic today is all about spring. In our first hour, we talked about getting the outside of your house ready. We talked about different plantings and things that you can do. And this hour, we're going to talk about getting your house ready for spring on the inside. And one of the first things on my list, which I don't like to do, and hopefully can have other people do, help me with at least, is cleaning, the spring cleaning. I remember my mom was very into that, and one of the things that stood out in my mind in particular is that we had a three-season porch or a sunroom, and you knew that the winter was over when she went out there and did like the big clean for mm-hmm. the season, and then we could use that room for the months that we got to use it. I think our spring probably will be early this year. From all the long-range forecasts they give me from the radio station, it seems that we will go into an early spring, which would be nice. Does that follow suit then means that with the summer will be earlier and fall will be earlier? How does that work, do you know?
You know what? I really don't know. I guess it'll depend on, you know, how much rain we get later in the spring. Because right. a rainy, gray, wet spring, I don't think brings a quick summer.
Right.
I mean, there have been years where it feels like we've gone immediately from like winter to summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's just not the glorious blue sky spring days.
Exactly. With the exception of probably February, which this year it's 68 degrees most of the time, I've always hated February because, you know, you get through the holidays, it's nice for it to be cold. January, you have that first feeling of snow, it's not so bad. But by February, you're like, oh, I'm done. The darkness, the gray, and so on. But it's so easy this year. I'm like hoping that it just kind of stays like that.
I sure hope so, too.
I don't know what it's doing to our world with it being this hot. You know, it's kind of scary of what's really going on, but I'll take it for a while. So we're talking about the inside of your house, and one of the things that we've talked about, we did a three-part series called All About Fabric, is that I'm shopping for a lot of fabrics these days. In fact, I just gave Jane a fabric, a beautiful sort of a cobalt blue or royal blue geometric fabric for a boy's room, really sharp looking, and it happens to be a an indoor-outdoor all-weather fabric, very durable, and fades resistant to sun fading. But a lot of the fabrics that I see for this year have a lot more color to them than they've had before. Again, there are a lot of gray fabrics, but more of a return to color in the fabrics. And the reason I think that is because you have to have something in a room have a pop. So I was in the fabric store yesterday. I saw beautiful fabrics, lots of color in them, which is really kind of nice. What's your favorite color in general? Do you have favorite color?
That's an interesting point. When I was little, I thought it was yellow. I love yellow.
Me too.
We have rooms that are yellow. Mm-hmm. But I think it really may be blue. I mean, I love cobalt blue. I love cobalt blue, white, and yellow.
Yeah.
So.
No, there's something about blue that I have to say is, it's been my experience in being a decorator is that people tend to pick colors that look good on them. So if I and I've said this before on the show, if I have a woman who's a redhead, a natural redhead, I notice she picks a lot of earth colors, russets and olive and things that go well with her complexion. Could be a gentleman also, but often more it's a woman than men. And then if I had one of my clients stands out was Connie, and she had blonde hair and blue eyes, and we were doing lots of blues and pinks and sort of pretty greens, things that went well with a blonde complexion. I have a client right now who's very pretty, very dark featured with dark hair and dark eyes, and she loves monochromatic earth tones because they go better with her skin. So I think there is something to that. You want to surround yourself with beauty, and often beauty is different for different people, don't you think?
Very insightful.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how that is in comfort level. One of the things that I think that makes me better as a designer is as the more houses I work in, the more people I meet, everybody has their sort of own frame of reference and something they bring to the table. And I think it's always a learning experience because you can always add to your bag of tricks with something's happening in somebody else's house. So some of the things I would probably suggest for getting your house ready for spring is to paint. Mm. Nothing does more to change a house than paint. It's the single most transformative thing you can do with your space is to repaint. Now, I will say this, not much has changed with paint color this year. I think it's followed suit very much as last year with the neutrals, and we're going to see a continuation of the neutrals. I don't see gray stopping anytime soon. I will tell you that the grays are, we're not doing blue grays anymore. We're really doing brown grays, colors that look like mushroom, colors that are sort of a hybrid between gray and brown. Definitely continuing on, soft middle tone grays, dark grays, light grays. I see them as primary, the paint colors. You know, Jane, it's very funny. When I do both Benjamin Moore and Sherwin Williams, although I'm a little bit more well-versed on Benjamin Moore, and when I go to look for four or five colors in multiple paint stores, they're always out of stock. Revere Pewter is a Benjamin Moore historic color. Can barely find it, always out of stock. Edgecombe Gray, which is another Benjamin Moore paint color, always out of stock. There's a color called Gray Owl, another Benjamin Moore color, always out of stock. I think probably some of the other ones are Chelsea Gray, which is a very dark gray. Often I can't find that color. And often the Stonington Gray is another one that's very popular with people. So the grays, I can't keep them in stock. So people are painting their bases grays or grayishes for sure. The second thing is people are doing whiter trim color than ever. Even as little as 2 years ago, most people, I would ask them what their trim color is, and they'll say Dove White. And I said, what do you think of it? And they're like, I liked it at the time, but now I don't. Here's the thing with paint colors. the more neutral and the lighter you make your paint color, you have to contrast that
exactly.
with something.
I am a big fan of super white.
Yes.
Benjamin Moore, that is super what we white. Have on every single painted yeah. trim and, piece that we have in the house.
And as your colors get lighter and more neutral, you have to have that super white. You have to have the super white. My rule of thumb with people is to do your walls of your house in a matte paint finish, to do your trim in super, with exceptions, but for the most part, to do super white semi-gloss as your trim color, and to do that same super white, but in a flat as your ceiling color. And that's the trifecta that always works for me. And I paint, as you know, Jane, every week I'm painting a house, and it always seems to work the best. I think that's a good combination to do those finishes. And you can keep your colors neutral. I do not see a change in a lot of paint colors. Besides the gray, I will say, if you're looking for inspiration, if you have a house that has 15 rooms, you can't have every single room be gray. Although people have asked me to make every single room gray. I said, you want to appreciate the gray if you don't have other colors. I'm seeing pale blues and greens. Those are the only other colors I'm seeing. We are not painting anything red. We're not painting anything yellow. We're not painting anything tan. We're not painting anything brown. They are blues and greens, soft blues and greens. And you and I have talked about the Palladian mm-hmm. blue and the Woodlawn blue, and also soft greens, Castleton mist. So citrusy type greens, not the sage greens anymore, more the yellow greens, like citrus greens and pale blues. Teals, pale blues, definitely that. But they pair into the gray, and they're similar to the gray, but they have a little bit more color. So if you're looking for inspiration this year, those are the colors I'm recommending. Those are the colors that I'm seeing in most people's houses. So paint, to me, really freshens up a space for spring in particular. The second thing I would do, something that Jane said, and that's take a look at your drapes. You know, you really, fabric, if you're doing panels, that's a lot of fabric. You really can transform a space. Let's say even you decide to paint your room gray. Now you don't want to have neutral color drapes. Now there's a sounding off to do something different, to add something to the table. So again, with a neutral base, you want to have pops of color in your fabric. So let's talk a little about drapes. I still see drapery panels being very popular. That hasn't changed a lot since last year. You don't see functional drapery panels anymore. Nothing is ever on a traverse rod. It's usually just a stationary panel on each side. One of the things that I have noticed that's different this year is hardware is different. I find that hardware is shorter. I see people trying to embrace that new look where they don't have a rod that goes across the hallway.
I was just going to ask for your input
on
that.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing a shorter rod, and it just goes the width of a panel. So if a panel is 50 inches or 52 inches, and then of course it's scrunched a little bit, you do a rod for just the width of the panel. So that's a look that makes it a little bit different, and I'm seeing a lot of that.
Well, you're going to talk a little bit more about the rods. I mean, mm-hmm. what kind of materials are you seeing?
Metals.
Are you sitting?
Metals,
okay,
metals, metals.
Go.
Much less wood. Metal is very hot this year. All sorts of metals. The old standbys like nickel, but even all the different metals, even polished metals and chrome and lots of iron and black. But metals are the most popular. I did not see a lot of wood this year. All my magazines, all my trade stuff, lots of metal. And then I will say, almost all the panels that I looked at are grommets. There's very few that are tabs. There's very few that are that have sort of an embellishment at the top. Rings are. I went to buy rings the other day for panels, and I had a hard time finding the rings.
Ah.
So a lot of the grommets, you know, because the trend, even if you have a very traditional house, as both you and I do, is to take your house that's traditional and just sort of do a little fun things with it. And Ethan Allen has, and we were talking with Penny last week about Ethan Allen. Ethan Allen hasn't embraced that. They'll take a very traditional dining room set that's Chippendale, and they'll paint the sideboard teal. I mean, they're doing things that, and then they're taking the end chairs away and putting in fabric end chairs. They are doing things that soften up the look or make it a little bit fun, and there's a twist. And that word transitional is a word that I'm continuing hearing this year for the space. So definitely we want to take a look at your drapes, and I think more than ever, now Country Curtains has always been a wonderful resource in getting quality panels off the rack. They're a little bit more expensive, but they give you a quality panel. But the last couple of years, I didn't think I saw anything innovative. Looking at the catalog this year, what do you think, huh?
I thought that it was fabulous. When I got my, I guess, late winter catalog, there are so many great prints. I mean, I feel like redoing the whole house.
Yeah, inspiring this year. They really have gotten their act together, and the things are wonderful. But in even some of the other places that aren't as innovative, if you go to Bed Bath & Beyond, if you go to Home Goods and so on, I do see a lot of panels, maybe not the same quality, but good-looking panels. And you can change out for $80, get two, you know, nice-looking lined panels, and you can put in a pale blue-green color or something or a new shape into a space. And it's also transformative. It brings something else to the table. So drapes are also, changing out your drapes are also a nice way to update for spring. The other thing that really changes things, and you can do that in a snap, is change out your pillows. I think pillows get a lot of wear and tear. They just do. That's the nature of what they are. You should often change out your pillows. Even for a hygienic reason, it's good to change out your pillows. I saw two beautiful geometric sort of trellis design, yellow pillows with the white and then a beautiful trim around them. I didn't have anywhere to use them, but I bought them because I said, I'll use them in somebody's house. But just a little bit of a pop of yellow. And that's something that we've discussed on previous shows. That yellow, yes, is back. It's not back in the same way. It's more of a bright yellow where you just use it as a pop. So let's say you have a gray room with white trim. You might even have a white sofa or maybe a light gray sofa. And then you'll do a bold geometric in yellow and have a little bit of pop. And then maybe you'll have some yellow flowers on the table. Not a lot of it, but the yellow that's there is an accent, so it's bolder. Mm-hmm. So that I'm definitely seeing a lot of. Lots of blue this year, lots of every shade of blue. And I noticed yesterday when I was shopping, the real intense blues, like you and I were talking about, the cobalt blues, the blue glass, lots of really rich, intense blue. I think blue is the only color that's left now that I would paint on walls. That's a very dark, saturated color because people are enhancing, are really embracing, I should say, not enhancing, the blues and doing blue dining rooms. I did so many blue dining rooms in the last quarter of last year. Lots
we
of rich neighbors.
We did our blue dining room in 2005.
Well, you're a trendsetter. You're in here first, which is very true. But still, seeing that as the only saturated color. But other than that, it's really all neutrals. So I am starting. I'm a person that likes color, so it took me a while to get to this point where I sort of embraced it. Now I kind of see the beauty in having that. So that's a very big thing for spring that you can do. The other thing that I'm seeing do is people using different chairs at their dining tables more than ever. So in other words, if you have...
You mean like a mix of chairs?
Mix of chairs. And often it's very as subtle as taking, if you have a set of six chairs and two of them are armchairs, moving the armchairs next to your side table and then bringing in a different set of end chairs. So that's something that I'm seeing a lot of people playing
upholstered end chairs
to break up the set. Mm-hmm. I see people changing at their chairs a lot, and that's a way to make your space look great for spring. The one thing that I'd say that I like about upholstered chairs is that if you share your living room and dining room space, or they sort of flow with each other, having an upholstered chair is also very practical because if you have a lot of company, you can much more easily take an upholstered chair and then put it into your living room or your family room, and they're more versatile. So sometimes breaking up a set, maybe you have a Heppel White chair or a really solid wood chair, and then putting some in chairs that are fabric upholstered make a very big difference and really make a space look reinvented and maybe softer and more updated.
Well, you know, to circle back to what you mentioned in our first hour, you were talking about using stain-repellent fabric, indoor-outdoor fabric. What do you think? Do you think that they have gotten to the point that you've got designs, patterns, textures, that's doable in a dining room?
It is. Now, the fabric that I gave you is sort of like sandpaper because it was meant for a window treatment that's going to be raised above that you don't touch. It's going to be affected a little bit by sun, so it has a good durability. So that specifically, and our listeners haven't seen that, but that's a beautiful fabric that wouldn't be appropriate. But in fact, Sunbrella in particular, but many other manufacturers have made them where you almost can't tell. They don't have that sort of rough feel to them. And I highly recommend them because, you know, that feeling of when you get something new and then you have people over and you're like, you know, and you want to be gracious if someone has an accident. Often they will. I mean, it's just a matter of time before they will. So if you have a fabric that's an indoor-outdoor fabric, to use them to upholster a chair is a great idea. And then people are doing sort of mix and match. They're trying to make their dining sets, I find, look more casual. And I see people getting rid of their china cabinets. I hate to say, Jane, I see people getting rid of their china cabinets and not displaying the china so much anymore. They'll put a piece of art up to replace it. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm seeing a lot of that. I'm seeing people that have the classic dining set. Maybe they inherited it from their mother or their grandmother, keeping that table but changing out the chairs and bringing in other pieces, making it not look like a set.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very popular thing to do, and I'm seeing people doing that when they're updating their houses for spring. I think anytime you add fabric to a space, you have the ability to make it look different, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
Even if you don't change the core pieces. Here's another thing I think is a nice thing to do for spring, but I did this a lot last year, but I'm getting a lot of requests for it, is gallery walls. Taking family pictures that have been in boxes or in albums and then picking the best of those and then going out and getting nice frames and nice mats and creating a specific area of your house, whether it be your hallway or your family room or an area, boxing out that area and creating a gallery space. Very popular these days. And I think probably a fun project for spring. I would imagine if you have children that change so quickly, you'd really appreciate doing that and having them be a part of that project. So something else to take a look at, to try. And that's not even an expensive project to do. All right, we're going to go to our next set of commercial messages, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on 100 and Chamber Radio.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambi's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambi's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambi's. Purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we are back with more of Modern Design here on 100 and Chamber Radio. I'm sitting live in a cozy studio in Flemington. Now we are on 119 Main Street in Flemington in the large house, which is just what it sounds like. It's a lovely space. They're still doing some work to it. If you look at the outside of the building, it looks like we probably shouldn't be here. But having said that, it is a grand space inside, and I'm sure they'll be having some functions here, and you'll get to see the inside of the space. If you go to my social media page, if you go to Facebook and go either under my name, Richard Scuderi, S-C-U-D-E-R-I, or Maven Hill Designs. You'll see some of the pictures of our new studios and some of the wonderful things they've done here. Well, our topic today happens to be getting your house ready for the season. We talked about in the first hour the outside, and now we're talking about things you can do to freshen your house to spring for the inside. And Jane had suggested the cleaning part, which I hate to do, but very important to do that. Wash those windows. That's very important. Take your drapes down. Probably spring is sort of the time to really take your drapes down, huh? Get through the winter and have them back up and so on. When you are doing the drapes yourself, if you're doing them, any rules so they don't shrink?
Oh, I'm going to tell you the truth. Our draperies, I would get dry cleaned. Dry cleaned. I mean, I haven't washed. I'm talking, you know, kitchen right. curtains, valances that may be in sure. office room or so.
And I'll throw something to that. If you have valances or things that you like, you might want to just change out the hardware for spring. Add a touch of metal, because metal is very popular right now. So maybe you have them set a certain way. Hardware is not expensive at all. You can really get nice hardware now, even at Lowe's and any of these places. Maybe change out your hardware, make it look a little different. Bring a little bit of metallic in without being over the top, and that freshness will show with people.
Well, when we were talking about grommets before,
right?
Are you talking mainly those kind of huge grommets, or are they in a range of sizes?
In a range of sizes, and I have seen sort of a shorter grommet that sort of hugs the pole and has sort of a square shape to it recently. So, but all sorts of grommets. I guess, you know, just for a sort of ease, there is something to a grommet functionally that it's easy to move back and forth and so on. I don't see a lot of clip rings. Again, I had bought panels that I really liked, and they were just slightly short for my space. So a good way to extend, if you buy off-the-rack panels that you like at a good price, is go out and get clip rings, and you can extend the length of them. The key thing that you want to talk about with drapes is you don't want drapes to ever be short. I don't know why they even still make the size 63 length. Do you? What an ugly, 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 like, floods, capri pants shape for drapes to be. At a minimum, I would say drapery panels should be 84 inches if you have an 8-foot ceiling, and then you're doing them into the trim of the window. I really like what elongating panels does for a room. It makes it taller. It makes it more attractive. It allows you to create a second under treatment to have another level. I always do my window treatments about 95, 96 inches, depending
upon. And hang them high.
And hang them high. Don't hang them on the framework of the window. Hang them on the sheetrock. And I really like that look. I think it always makes everything seem taller and more attractive. And again, if the colors are going to be neutral, you want to have that fabric, that long fabric. It creates something else going on into the room. So definitely a way to fabric in general will always freshen a space and bring something new to the table. The other thing that I think is good to for spring is just to change out your artwork. It doesn't have
good
to
point.
Be super expensive artwork. But, you know, haven't you gotten maybe a piece of artwork that you had for 12 or 13 years? You don't even really look at it anymore, do you? You just take it for granted that it's there. I'm not saying get rid of your existing artwork and pictures, but maybe you had a series of whatever it was, different type of prints. Maybe they were fern prints and they were great. Wrap them up, put them down in the basement, go shopping, get yourself a set of new prints, maybe something different for this year, and put it up. It shows that you're keeping up with the times. You don't have to sort of break the bank in order to make your space seem more up to date. But just do little things. You know, little things really do go a long way for spring. Now I'm going to go to a little bit more if you want to take it to the next level. I find that I have so many powder rooms and bathrooms booked for 2017. I can't tell you how many. And one of the things you want to do when the spring comes is take a good look at your house. You know, look at your bathrooms. Bathrooms and kitchens become dated. Bathrooms in particular, you know, the styles keep changing so much. And take a look at your bathrooms. Particularly a powder room can be something that you can do very economically in the spring. I will tell you, Jane, on trend is wallpaper is back.
Is it really?
Wallpaper is back like I've never seen before. I am ordering so much wallpaper, I can't tell you.
Now, so let me ask, are you using wallpaper in place of tile in
a powder room,
for example?
No. If I inherit a bathroom that has tile going up the wall, we're getting rid of the tile. Tile is being more limited to the shower.
That's what
component.
I thought.
Much
was.
Less tile on the wall. But when we're replacing that with new wallboard, we're putting up... wallpaper, vinyl paper. Vinyl papers have come such a long way. Now, I personally do not recommend or use wall vinyl in functional bathrooms where there are showers because of the steam. I just feel that even if it's put up well, and the new formulations for wall vinyl is very good, I don't like it. But where I do put wall vinyl is in powder rooms. And I really, really like it. I've done most of the powder rooms that I use, I've been using wall vinyl. And I'll tell you why. It's for a very practical reason. When anybody washes their hand, even an adult who's very careful, inevitably on the tips of their fingers, that water will come off and you will have wet spots very quickly on your sheetrock. And you can always see it. You cannot keep up with it. Mm-hmm. To do a wonderful, sophisticated wall vinyl, they're not shiny and rubbery the way they were before. They really are very rich looking. To do them in a powder room is great because you can actually just wipe them down. They're very easy to take care of. They don't really scuff like a paint will scuff. Because often when you're in a powder room, you're in a small space. Mm-hmm. You're moving around. Women have high heels. But wall vinyl is perfect for that. And I tell you, the vinyls that I'm doing now don't have as much, of specific designs as they were before. Most of them are just texture.
That's what I was just about to ask. Are you seeing, you know, patterns or texture or colors?
Right.
Or
mostly pattern, mostly texture. Grass cloth, number one. Faux grass cloth is the number one most requested thing that I'm doing right now for wall vinyl and powder rooms. What's nice about that is you can take something like a wall vinyl that looks like it's grass cloth, and then as a top layer, you can put art over it. It doesn't compete. If you do bathroom walls that look like they're birds or look like they're some sort of a scroll design, well, you're done. You've created mm-hmm. your look. But if you do something that looks like a grass cloth, something that looks like a weaver's cloth, something that looks like linen, something that looks like burlap, it's just a layer. And then on top of that, you can put your artwork, or you could bring in pattern with your towels or your shower curtain, and it allows you to bring in another level. So I would recommend, if you want to try something different for the spring to make your house look wonderful, why don't you look at a wonderful wall vinyl for your powder room? That's something that could make a big difference. Typically, you're not using a lot of material. Mm-hmm. It's very functional. And, in any color. I did a navy blue. I did a bathroom. We did the vanity over, too, because it was dark. And we put a white painted vanity. So it was bright. And the floor tile was white. And then we did a navy blue grass cloth.
Oh, wow.
Wow, is that gorgeous. Unexpected artwork that had silver frames on it with the white and the navy. It was spectacular.
Oh, I love navy yeah. and white. Absolutely.
There's a richness to it. But there's also a balance when you work with navy. You have to have a lot of light. Now, this didn't have any natural light because it was a powder room, but because everything else was white. The floor was white. The transition was white. The vanity top was white. The vanity was white. The artwork had white in the backdrop. We had white trim and white molding. That worked. It was the contrast that made it so striking.
Was it the full wall, or did you have,
No, believe it or not, we didn't have it below. We just had a good baseboard molding. We had not a big space. We had a high ceiling. We had a white ceiling, and everything else was white.
I bet that was striking.
It was striking looking, and you could get away with it. It actually worked well because it was not a lot of
and
wall
classic.
Space.
Classic. I mean, that's not going to go out of style no. the way some of the grass cloth that we remember the 70s.
Right,
left
right.
Grass cloth as
it,
kids.
It very much is a grass cloth. But I'm liking grass cloth. I haven't done it yet, but I priced the other day like a citrus green grass cloth. And that's fun. You could bring chocolate brown in with that. You could bring a lot of other colors in with that, with some of these things. And they're kind of fun to do because they're a play on it, but they have that traditional element to it. So definitely wall vinyl is something that you can bring in, particularly in your powder room. You know, I always think that powder rooms get overlooked. And I say, what's the one room that any guest in your house will use? Powder
there
room.
There you go.
It's the most important room. And people really forget about their powder rooms. I don't know why. They leave them the builder's off white color, their linen white. They don't paper them. They don't put a lot into them. And that's the room that you know that almost every person that crossed your path is going to go into. So very interesting. All right, we're going to go to some more commercials, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design in our second hour here on 100 in Chamber Radio.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property, can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with more of Modern Design in our second hour. How are we doing in our second hour, Jane?
I can't believe we're almost done.
I know.
It went 20 more minutes.
I know, and that's it. It went pretty fast. The only thing that's missing from here is beverages, and I don't mean adult. No, I do mean adult beverages, but beverages, because one of the things that we had in our old studio, which was nice, is we had a break room, and there was always wonderful coffees and spring water and all that stuff that we got used to. And now we have like this beautiful mansion that we work in.
I hear it's coming. I think it's still packed away.
Definitely, we'll have to have some libations for you when you come in next time. I'll have to have something set up in our space here at the large house. Well, our topic today happens to be getting ready for spring. And in a snarky way, I'm going to say, if you go to Maven Hill Designs, there's a lot of new spring things in. So check me out in my Flemington location at 1 U.S. Highway 31 at the Flemington Circle. We're in the Kitchen Expo Plaza. It's where Ideal Tile is. If you go in a couple of stores, we're at the former Lennox location. Lots of accessories, some new pictures that I just put in 2 days ago for spring, some new artwork, lots of inexpensive things. You can go in and spend $20 and come out with something nice for your home. So go check us out. That's 908-884-0770. We also have a new location in Maplewood Village in Maplewood, New Jersey, at the train station, not too far from the Short Hills Mall in northern New Jersey. And that address is 191B Maplewood Avenue, Maplewood, New Jersey. Next to me is a wonderful coffee house called the Abel Baker. Have some delicious banana bread and a cup of coffee and come visit us. We like to hang out and have a party. Okay, so our topic today happens to be getting your house ready for spring. And I have the lovely Jane DeHaven with me in studio, who says she won't be on once I get cameras here. But we're going to make sure that she's on when we have cameras here. I shouldn't be on when we have cameras here, but we'll do that. And we're talking about getting your house ready and freshening up for spring. Now, I want to transition to the bedroom because I think that's an important place for spring to see a whole new look. And a lot of a bedroom can be specifically changed by using fabric, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And I'm going to go back to what we talk about all the time, and that is changing out your bed to an upholstered headboard or an upholstered bed. I think that I see that so often now. And I will say to people, let's say you have a traditional bed frame that goes with your set, don't throw it away. take the rails, take everything, and just put it down the basement, put it in another place, because you may want to go back to that or sell that at one time. But getting an upholstered headboard is something that's not a big expense. I'm going to go one up on that. I would say when the trend changed towards an upholstered headboard, initially people were keeping their metal bed frame and just attaching a headboard to it, which would require them still to do a bed skirt and work with just a headboard. But now it's changed kind of again, where people are getting an upholstered bed.